Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes. On Q95, every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in. Tune in. Tune in.
A pleasant good morning to you. It is 10:19 a.m. Eastern Caribbean time, and you are connected on Health Vibes. I'm sure that maybe you felt that smile that came from my face just a while ago. It is a pleasure being with you again for yet another brilliant, inspiring, teachable episode of Health Vibes. As you know, Health Vibes is your very own health talk show. I call it the University of Medicine on the radio. And so this is where you learn so many things, and we are always happy to teach you, you know, what you may have known or what you do not know as it relates to your health and wellness. I'm your host, Carlton Lando, and it is, again, my pleasure. I do hope that you're doing well. Those of you who are a bit ill at the moment, or you might be battling a life-threatening disease, may the good Lord be with you at this time, and may He comfort you as you battle that disease or as you recover from that medical condition. Those of you who may be at work at this time, good morning. You might be at your desk trying to listen to what, wondering what is Carlton going to be talking about this morning. Good morning. Those of you who may be at the farm at this time, ensuring that our food security is sustained, good morning to you. The fisher folks, the fishermen who really risk their life every day to ensure that we get organic, omega-free protein, good morning to you. And to the many bus drivers, you are very important. I remember that strike a few months ago and how it disrupted the entire economy. So it means that you guys have a lot of power. Good morning to you at this time. And I do pray that your journey back and forth will be a safe one throughout the course of the day. So I think I've said good morning to everybody. And again, to our overseas callers and listeners, we do have a huge fan base throughout, you know, the different parts of the world. Good morning to you at this time, Canada, you know, London, the United States, all the different states there. Good morning to you. I know we have a huge fan base, and I get the calls all the time to tell me that how the shows have been so educational. And we applaud your reviews, and we do pray that you will continue to stick around with us. As you know, we are the number one pharmacy on Ireland, the People's Choice Pharmacy, the winning Caribbean Best Pharmacy. We won that award in 2018, and we try our best every day to ensure that every medical and public health need is met. All right, this morning we will be talking a bit on cardio health. This morning we will be focusing on cardio health. Cardio basically means heart circulatory system. And this morning I am going to make this one very teachable. So I'm going to say to you at this time, if you have a pen, if you have a paper, if you have a book, ensure that you hold it close by, because we will be discussing this morning the different classes of antihypertensive medications, what they are, how they work. We will look at some of the examples, some of the other uses, and so you will have an idea, a greater awareness as to why you are given sometimes two and three different medicines to control your blood pressure. We will talk about the different classes. We will talk about how they work, what are their benefits, and some of the things that you may have to be cautious about when you are taking some of the medicines for that condition, hypertension. But before we do so, I have one of my colleagues with me from the marketing department, and she's going to talk about something exciting that is going to be taking place very soon. Compliments the number one pharmacy on island, Jolly's Pharmacy. Good morning to you, my dear. Introduce yourself to the people and let them know what are the exciting ventures that will be taking place at our pharmacy, Jolly's Pharmacy.
Okay, thank you, Carlton. Good morning to all the listening public. My name is Shaida, Sales and Marketing Assistant at Jolly's Pharmacy. So next week is going to be spectacular at Jolly's. We're going to be celebrating our Customer Appreciation Days from July 22nd to the 24th. So from next week, Thursday to Saturday, your number one stop should be Jolly's. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about the promotions that we'll be having. So a promotion going on all now is if you spend $50 or more, you'll get a chance to be a winner of a $350 hamper. We also have free shipping on jollies.dm from the 22nd to the 24th. So all the people that are overseas, this is your opportunity to shop on jollies.dm. And we ship to anywhere that DHL locations are, meaning New York, UK, US, regionally, anywhere you have a DHL, we ship to you. We also have free gym registration, also from the 22nd to the 24th. So all of you who have been, you know, second guessing, should I join the gym or not? This is your opportunity to take free gym registration. So you just come, you pay for your package, and you start your gym.
So let me ask you though, because I really want to focus a little on the freeze, the no payment.
No payment.
So you're saying that if right now that I want to ship, let us say 12 bottles of Babyliss to my mother in New York, it's going to be free shipping.
Yes, free shipping from the 22nd to the 24th.
So there's a waiver.
No payment.
So I save.
Yes.
I save money.
Yes.
And you're also saying that if I want to join the gym at this time, it's summertime, it's a daylight saving time, you want to, you know, get yourself in shape. And at the same time, you know, enhance your health and wellness, you can register at the gym for free.
Yes.
So what's the registration fee at the gym?
It's $25.
$25.
So that's
$25 that stays
you
in
save.
Your pocket.
Yes.
So you heard that, Slim?
Yeah,
register to the gym and you don't pay nothing, right? You know, within that specific time.
The 22nd to the 24th of July.
If you register,
Saturday,
you don't pay no money.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we'll also be having live entertainment. So just remember that we have three locations, Great George, King George, and JP Mega in Francolet. So we'll have in live entertainment. We'll be having sampling, giveaways. We'll also be having clinics. So look out for those. We're having product bundles. And we'll also be having discounts on certain items in the store. So cosmetics, hair care, skin care, the home section, just name it. There's a discount for everybody.
I'm hearing though, and I may not get the cat out of the bag, but I'm hearing that there may be up to 41% discount that will be happening, and that has to do with in commemoration to our anniversary,
yes,
which had to be sort of kind of nullified last year due to
COVID.
You know, COVID-19, which was a new disease, and the entire world was basically on panic mode and shut down and lockdown and all of that.
Yeah.
And so that just hampered our 40th anniversary. We had a very nice calendar of activities which literally had to be omitted due to the COVID-19. But I see that you also have a mega land.
Yes.
What is this all about though?
So to end off our activities, on Saturday we're having a mega land at JP Mega. So we're going to have free bouncy castle for the kids, face painting, balloon art, Baiko ice cream, go-kart racing, everything is going to be a mega land.
So
come along with your
children.
Yes.
It's there's no school.
Yes.
School is closed. And, you know, it's a good time to bond with your children, particularly
yes,
on the weekend. Many of them have begun summer school already.
Yes. And it's the summertime too.
Right?
So.
And so You don't want to have them so into a program that's all about academia,
yes,
but you want to ensure that they have some fun and frolic during the holiday. Yeah.
So
period.
While their parents are getting those good deals inside the store, their kids can be outside having an amazing time themselves.
Excellent.
Yes. So also on Sunday, we'll also be having a church service. We'll be also revealing a bus stand that we're branding. And we're also going to rename one of the famous streets in St. Joseph after our dear Mr. Anderson Jolly. So it will be called Anderson A. Jolly Avenue.
That's it. Yes. All right. So here you have it. I'm sure that I will give you some more details as time gets closer to our customer appreciation days at Jolly's Pharmacy. It is now we began customer appreciation in 2013. So if you do the math, you might be better than I am. How many years now since we've been doing this? 2013 to 2021. That's what, 7 years about? Right, so we've been doing this for a while, and it's all because of you. As I've always said, you are the one that have made us what we are today, and we owe it to you, and due to our loyalty and gratitude, hence the reason why we are giving back to you. And you know, sometimes people assume that the giving back has to be merely just about products, but you'd recognize some of our services as well are giving back. And so the shipping, that's a service you're not going to pay. Joining the gym, that is to do with your health and wellness, you're not going to be paying for 2 days if you are registering. And so there are ways. So it's not just merely about focusing about, oh, there's no discount on that particular product that I wanted, but what other services can we sell to you at a promotional price that will benefit you and your family? And so we really take the planning phase very seriously once we are embarking on any major activity that Jolly's Pharmacy brings to you.
Yes,
so in your parting words?
Yes, I would just like to say to all our listeners to just follow our Facebook page and our Instagram, Jolly's Pharmacy, to look out for all our promotions and upcoming events. So every day you might see something new, something that might entice you. If you want to do our cardio jam, you know, you want to come get free samples, our clinics. So just follow our pages on social media and also www.jollys.dm for more promotion and deals and steals. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And do have a good day. And the marketing team, always working hard to ensure that we shine. All right, so we're going to take a short break and then we'll be right back as we get into audio, sort of like a cardio lecture this morning, cardio therapy lecture. All right, let's take a break.
What juice we drinking? A better tasting juice, one with so much variety. The perfect cocktail juice, bartender, it's brand for me. So many flavors, so do me a favor. Ask children in school for the recess, what juice they drinking? We drinking brand, we drinking brand. 100% juice, everybody drinking brand. We drinking brand, we drinking brand. It's healthy and it's pure, that's why we drinking brand.
Brand juice, 100% juice, distributed by Jolly's Pharmacy Limited.
I woke up this morning feeling real stink. I had temptations to call in sick, but I end up in Jolly's Pharmacy. Great and don't think I should. Jolly's fix up my immune system. Have me feeling fit and strong. Now I'm ready to work and take on any mission.
Whenever I'm in town and I'm feeling down, I head to Jolly's Pharmacy. They boost me up real quick. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes, hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes. On Q95, every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in.
So we're back with you this morning on Health Vibes. As you know, Health Vibes is a very educational health education and promotional show brought to you by Jolly's Pharmacy. I'm your host, Carlton Lando, pharmacist, public health educator. This morning, I want to focus a little on the medications that are often prescribed to treat hypertension. I know that we do have many people in Dominica who are on hypertension medications. Sometimes you would have started with one medicine and then subsequently you found yourself the doctor adding two and sometimes even three. And you find yourself, why am I using three different medicines to treat my hypertension? What are the medicines different? What are their functions? How do they work? And so today I'm going to spend some time on Health Vibes to really sort of break down the different classes of antihypertensive medicines. We're going to look at what these medicines do, that is how they work. We're going to look at some of the examples, and you would recognize as well, for people with other cardiovascular diseases, some of the same medicines are also used by the doctor. So you may not be hypertensive clinically, but you may have another condition. You might have congestive heart failure, you might have angina pectoris, you might have cardiac arrhythmias, you may have something else that would warrant the use of similar medications that you would have used for hypertension. So we're going to look at that. And hence the reason why I was saying this morning when we began the show, it would be interesting if you can actually, if you are hypertensive, because I'm going to give you some of the medicines, and you are on the various drugs that I will mention, you can mark down some of the information that I'm going to relay to you. Let me begin by saying that hypertension is a cardiovascular disease. So it's a disease that affects your heart and circulatory system. It is a disease that is chronic, meaning that it has no cure. So if you are hypertensive, you are hypertensive. You may be on, you might tell yourself, well, you're healed, but that does not necessarily mean so. You can get a relapse. So yes, you may not be on medication at this time, but something external or internal, extrinsic or intrinsic, can actually exacerbate your blood pressure to spike. And so therefore, if you're hypertensive, you are hypertensive. You cannot have a trace of hypertension. And in our culture here, people tend to have that ideology or that belief that you can have a trace of hypertension. That is false. Again, if you're a black person, then that increases your risk factor, your ethnicity as a black person. If there are people in your immediate family that are hypertensive, that also increases your risk. If you are obese or overweight, that increases your risk. If you are diabetic, that also increases your risk. If you're a smoker, that increases your risk as well. So there are varied risk factors that may cause you to have high blood pressure. But for the sake of time, let me get into the actual discussion today, as we're going to be looking at the different classes of antihypertensive medicines, what they do, and how they work. So let's look at the ACE inhibitors. And that is an abbreviation that means something kind of long. And that is angiotensin converting enzyme inhibitors. You might say, well, upanene, you don't have to load that long name. But let me just give you some of the drugs that falls under that class. And at least once you can identify with these drugs, or you might be using one of them, then you will recognize, well, okay, I need to know about this one. So let me give you some of the examples of drugs that falls under ACE inhibitors. Abbreviation A as in apple, C as in cow, E as in egg inhibitors. So that is a particular class of medicines that helps to control blood pressure. So let's look at some of the examples. And I have chosen examples that our doctors in Dominica use. So you may be using one of these medicines. Captopril. So we have captopril. Thank you. As one, that's a very popular one. Captopril. Enalapril, lisinopril, ramipril, perindopril. So those are examples. Captopril, enalapril, lisinopril, ramipril, and perindopril. So those are examples of ACE inhibitors that are used locally in Dominica, prescribed locally by our health providers to people who are hypertensive. So if you do use one of these drugs, write down that name of the drug and write the abbreviation of the class, which is ACE inhibitors, which are angiotensin converting enzyme inhibitors. Now, how do these medicines work? I'm going to try to explain it in the most simplistic way that you can understand. One, they help to relax your veins and your arteries to lower your blood pressure. So the first thing that they do, they help to relax your veins and your arteries to lower your blood pressure. Now, ACE inhibitors, they prevent an enzyme in your body from producing what we call angiotensin 2. Now, that might be a bit of a big word for you and you don't understand it. But basically, what angiotensin 2, it is basically a substance that narrows your blood vessels. So that substance that narrows your blood vessels, this medicine prevents that enzyme in your body from producing that substance. So as we said, that this class of medicine, one, they help to relax your veins and your arteries by lowering your blood pressure. And they also help to prevent an enzyme in your body from producing a substance we call angiotensin 2. And that substance, if it's produced and released in the body, it's going to narrow your blood vessels. Okay? Now, this narrowing of your blood vessels can cause your blood pressure to get high. How does it do that? Because it's going to force your heart to work harder. All right? So, really and truly, this is simplistically how this drug works. So as I said, drugs like captopril, enalapril, lisinopril, ramipril, perindopril, these drugs are all examples of ACE inhibitors. Now, You may not be hypertensive clinically, but you may have coronary artery disease, you may have heart failure, you may have had a heart attack. This class of drug can also be used for these other medical conditions. So you might be saying, but I don't have high blood pressure. Why am I on this drug? Again, some of these medicines can also be used for other cardiovascular conditions. Now, as a pharmacist, I have had people come to me seeking cough and cold medicines. And one of the questions that we ask, are you on any antihypertensive medicines? And if you are, can you tell me which one that you are on? Sometimes they don't remember. We go into their profile on the system, on the computer system, and see what they are. Oftentimes, we will ask them to sort of characterize or describe how the cough is. So if it's a very, very dry, hacking, troublesome cough, which is not producing any mucus, and you recognize that you have no other symptoms of the common cold, this can be the most common side effect of the ACE inhibitors. So you may experience a very dry, acute cough. The cough can become very sudden. It can be quite prolonged, meaning that you can find the frequency of coughing is quite often. All right? So you want to tell your doctor that if you are using one of these drugs and you recognize that you keep on coughing quite often, particularly 30 minutes after you've taken the medicine, then that might be the cause, because it's one of the main side effects of the ACE inhibitors. Another thing about it is that if you are on this drug, your doctor may require you to do periodic blood tests at least every 6 months just to monitor the potassium levels, because this drug, one of the things it can sometimes do, increase your potassium levels. And so therefore your doctor may require you to do a complete blood count to see what your potassium level is like. Because if your potassium level is too high, it can cause problems to the muscles of the heart. And so that is why we would want you, the doctor may require you to do periodic blood tests from time to time. And that is why when blood tests are requested, are required by your primary healthcare doctor or private doctor, do not procrastinate and cast the requisition aside and say you don't have the money and are doing it. It's important because we want to know how the medication is impacting your body and how your body is impacting the medication. So we're talking about pharmacokinetics, pharmacodynamics. That's the term for it. But that is also important. So if you recognize that, then the dry cough, the increase in the potassium level, then adjustments may have to be done and the doctor will have to take it. If you are taking ACE inhibitors, the drugs again, captopril, enalapril, lisinopril, ramipril, perindopril, if you are taking any of these drugs, let me just remind you as well that you should not take these drugs close proximity or together with an NSAID. An NSAID is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. So we're talking of drugs like naproxen, diclofenac, indomethacin, mefenamic acid or ponstant, aspirins, any of these painkillers, you cannot take captopril or enalapril or lisinopril together with it or close proximity to it. So even if you do have a pain, it might be better to take paracetamol in that case. If you have a headache and you've just taken captopril or any of the drugs that I've mentioned, any of the AC inhibitors together rather than taking an NSAID. Why? Because it's going to decrease how your ACE inhibitor is going to work. So it's going to decrease the efficacy, how well the drug is going to work. And you want your blood pressure to drop or to be controlled. So if you take it with that type of painkiller, anti-inflammatory agent, it is going to hamper the absorption rate of the ACE inhibitor. Another thing I want you to know, if you are taking these drugs, meaning captopril, enalapril, lisinopril, ramipril, perindopril, you should take them on an empty stomach. So you should take it at least 1 hour before having that meal. Sometimes the drug is given twice a day, sometimes once a day, sometimes three times a day. Whatever the direction that was given by your doctor, ensure that you take these ACE inhibitors on an empty stomach, as food tend to delay the absorption of these drugs. So food can delay the absorption of these drugs and make them not work the best. So these are what I wanted to say about the ACE inhibitors. This is the first class of antihypertensive medicines that we've spoken about this morning. So I just wanted you to do hope that you would have taken down some notes and remember what I have said to you. Now, let us go to another class. So you might be on a calcium channel blocker. So that's another class of antihypertensive medicines that are often prescribed. They are called calcium channel blockers. Let me give you some common examples that are available right here in Dominica and at Jolly's Pharmacy. So we know that many of you might be taking amlodipine. So you might be taking amlodipine or the brand name Norvas, Deltiazam, nifedipine, verapamil, isradipine, felodipine, nicardipine. Let me give the examples again of calcium channel blockers that are available at Jolly's Pharmacy and throughout other pharmacies in Dominica. Those are the common ones that our doctors readily prescribe as one of the choices to control hypertension. Again, let me give you the examples. Amlodipine, Deltiazam, nifedipine, verapamil, isradipine, felodipine, nicardipine. These are all examples of calcium channel blockers. So let's look at what calcium channel blockers do and how they differ from ACE inhibitors, which is one of the first classes of antihypertensive drugs that I mentioned this morning. Calcium channel blockers, what they do, they lower your blood pressure by preventing calcium from entering the cells of your heart and arteries. So calcium channel blockers, they lower your blood pressure by preventing calcium from entering the cells of your heart and your arteries. Calcium causes the heart and arteries to contract more strongly. By blocking that calcium, the calcium channel blockers will now allow blood vessels to relax and to open. So primarily, these classes of drugs, calcium channel blockers, we mentioned them, amlodipine, deltiazam, nifedipine, verapamil, isradipine, felodipine, nicardipine, they are all examples of calcium channel blockers. These calcium channel blockers, as I said, they lower your blood pressure by preventing calcium from entering the cells of your heart and arteries. So calcium causes the heart and arteries to contract more strongly. By blocking that calcium, the calcium channel blockers will allow blood vessels to relax and to open. Now, some calcium channel blockers have added benefits of slowing your heart rate, which can further lower your blood pressure. They can relieve you from chest pain, and they can also control irregular heartbeats. So yes, you may not be primarily be using it for high blood pressure, but you might be using it for angina pectoris, where you have this acute chest pain. You might be using it for cardiac arrhythmias, where your heart is beating erratically, it's not beating very well. You might be using it for coronary artery disease. So these are some of the other uses of this particular class, calcium channel blockers. Now, some of the common side effects we normally get with these, with this particular class of drugs, include swelling of the feet, the ankles, and lower legs. That's very common with particularly amlodipine. We see people come in and say, well, they've been getting swelling of their feet and lower legs, which includes the ankles. Some people might get headache, particularly with nifedipine and nicardipine. I have seen people complain about the headache, particularly frontal headache radiating around the eyes and the forehead. People often may experience constipation as well as dizziness. So these are the common side effects that the calcium channel blockers would normally give. Now, if you are taking a calcium channel blocker, all right, you are taking a calcium channel blocker, there are some things that we want you to know in terms of your medicine. So remember, I have given some of the examples of famous calcium channel blockers, okay? We spoke about the amlodipine, the diltiazem, nifedipine, verapamil, isradipine, felodipine, nicardipine. Those are the common examples of calcium channel blockers that are often used, okay? One second. So, right, I was just distracted by a message. Sorry about that. So, some of the foods that you want to avoid with calcium channel blockers. One, you want to avoid taking it together with calcium tablets. Some of you take calcium for your bones, so you don't want to take it. You don't want to take that medicine exactly the same time with the calcium tablets. You want to avoid taking it together with grapefruit juice. Okay, so grapefruit juice can cause the calcium channel blockers to stay much longer in your bloodstream. So let us say that you are taking nifedipine 30 milligrams moderate release, okay? And or sustained release, which is one of the pills. And that pill is supposed to last at least 18 to 24 hours in your bloodstream. And you drink 2 glasses of grapefruit juice together. You don't feel like drinking water. You decide you're going to drink. You have grapefruit juice in the fridge. You're going to drink 2 glasses of grapefruit juice together with this particular medicine. It's going to cause a high concentration of the medicine to still remain in your bloodstream. So time you are supposed to take the next dose, you will still have a high concentration of the medicine in your bloodstream, which can cause some levels of toxicity. So we really want you to remember that. However, calcium channel blockers should be taken with food, or you can take it, you can take it with bread, you can take it with, something, but it is best taken with food or just after you have eaten. So I do hope that you would have gotten some well-needed information about the calcium channel blockers. So we've spoken about one, the AC inhibitors, which is one of the classes of drugs that are used to control your blood pressure. The second class that we've spoken about today is the calcium channel blockers. Now we're going to take a short break, and then we will continue with the different classes of medicines that are used to help control elevated blood pressure.
What juice we drinking? A better tasting juice, one with so much variety. The perfect cocktail juice, bartender, it's brand for me. So many flavors, so do me a favor. Ask children in school for the recess. What juice they drinking? We drinking brand. We drinking brand. 100% juice, everybody drinking brand. We drinking brand. We drinking brand. It's healthy and it's pure. That's why we drinking brand.
Brand juice, 100% juice. Distributed by Jolly's Pharmacy Limited.
I woke up this morning feeling real stink. I had the intentions to call in sick, but I end up in Jolly's Pharmacy. Great and down King Cross Street. Jolly's fix up my immune system. Got me feeling fit and strong. Now I'm ready to work and take on any mission.
Whenever I'm in town and I'm feeling down, I head to Jolly's Pharmacy. They boost me up real quick. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes, hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95. Every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in. Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes, hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in.
So we're back with you. This morning, you would recognize that I have not really been taking calls. Why? Because I really think I want people to really get that information. So those of you who are hypertensive, I think sometimes today would be one of the days that you might just really want to take some notes and learn the information so that we really can have more time getting into the discussion, because sometimes when the calls comes in, it takes a lot of the time. So I'm not unhappy that the calls are not coming in, because it means that people are really paying attention to the information that I'm giving as it relates to the different antihypertensive medicines and the different classes of them and how each of them work in the body. Now, I just want to mention, though, that we live in a country where I still believe agriculture is our main industry, even if we see tourism, but agriculture is constant, and we are blessed with the fertile soil, the relief or the rainfall to produce. So we know that we still have quite a bit of bananas on island. I'm a great banana person. I like ripe bananas, and many people do. But it is one of the fruits that can definitely interfere with many of the blood pressure medicines. So I just want to mention that if you are a banana eater, you like ripe bananas, and you are on blood pressure medications, you want to be careful, because bananas do contain high levels of potassium. And so let us say you are taking some of these medicines that I've mentioned there. That means that it's going to increase the potassium levels in your blood and can subsequently cause some problems to the heart. So you really don't want, yes, potassium can help to reduce the blood pressure. It can help to reduce the blood pressure. But if you take too much of it, so if you go, coconut water has a lot of potassium too. That's why it's considered an electrolyte. So let's say you have diarrhea or you have a lot of vomiting, we recommend that you take a ripe banana or two, or you take coconut water because of the potassium and glucose and so forth that's in there, which are electrolytes. But at the same time too, if you go, you take your blood pressure medication and you go drink a whole liter of coconut water, then that might be a bit too much potassium at one time in your body. So I just wanted to mention that quickly as we move along. So the third class of medicine that we use to control hypertension is called, another class, the beta blockers. And that's a very popular class of medicines too. And the beta blockers, they include medications such as atenolol, bisoprolol, metoprolol, nadolol, propranolol, satelolol. Those are all available at Jolly's Pharmacy. Every one of them are prescribed by different doctors. We'll use different ones. And we do have quite a number of patients on one of these beta blockers. No patient can be on two beta blockers, so you'd have to be on one. So we have, again, examples, atenolol, bisoprolol, metoprolol, nadolol, propranolol, sotalolol. Those are available at the pharmacy, and they are considered beta blockers. So beta blockers, right, are medicines that reduce your blood pressure. How do they do so? They do so by blocking the effects of a hormone called adrenaline. So they block that rush hormone, epinephrine, or we call it adrenaline. So when you get nervous, you release adrenaline. You get that adrenaline rush. You're excited. It is also released as well. But more so, we find it when you're nervous. So you get, when you're nervous, when adrenaline is rushed into your body, you find your pupils dilate. Your veins on your forehead might stand up because it happens when you're angry too. You may find that your heart rate increases. You may find that you have a little stomach gripe and even sometimes diarrhea. You may feel that you have a lot of energy too, okay? So this is the hormone that the beta blocker blocks. And when it blocks it, what it does, it causes your heart to beat slower because adrenaline is blocked. So your heart beats slower and there is less force on the heart muscle. And by so doing, your blood pressure will dissipate or will be better controlled. So beta blockers, they are important. And that's primarily in a nutshell how they work. And that's the best way I can explain it to you in a lay language. Okay? So we do use them for other purposes. So the cardiologist may use them sometimes for even migraine. So we use them sometimes for migraine. We use them for heart attacks, for angina pectoris, where you have acute pain in the chest. We use them for heart failure. We use them for cardiac arrhythmias, where you have a irregular heart rhythm. So we use them for these cardiovascular conditions as well. Most of the beta blockers, most of them, they can cause a bit of weight gain. So that's one of the common side effects of them. They can cause a bit of weight gain. They can get you a little fatigue. And sometimes you could find that your hands and your feet, they're a bit colder than usual. However, if you are going to prescribe, let's say you get to the health center, you get to your private doctor, the hospital, and the doctor says to you, you're hypertensive, we have to put you on some medication. Normally, we begin with a diuretic. That is a medicine that helps to deplete the excess sodium or salt from your blood. But sometimes when that doesn't work, doctors add other medicines, other classes, and a beta blocker can be added. Ensure that you tell your doctor that you're asthmatic if a beta blocker is to be used. You may not know that they're going to use that one, but you just let the doctor know that, doctor, I am asthmatic, so just remember that. So then the doctor will know that he or she cannot and should not prescribe a beta blocker for you. Why? Because beta blockers, they do have a propensity to increase the risk for you to trigger an asthma, rather. They can trigger an asthma. And that is why we do not use them in patients or clients who are asthmatic. Okay? Sometimes too, in our diabetics, we can find that some of these beta blockers, particularly based on the dosage, they may also block a signal to show that your blood glucose is low. So sometimes they may make you not even know that your sugar level is low if you're diabetic. And so that is something too that we are conscious about and we pay attention to. Particularly our diabetics who are on beta blockers, we let them know that. Okay, we have a caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
You know, Brother Carlton, I last saw you at the Jolly Pharmacy. You had a very beautiful sheep up, a shag. That's very good. Anyway, I'm trying to understand this phrase. As they say that, no, medication is made up from compound, which is solid, liquid, and gas. You know, the...
Okay, caller. I suspect you are deviating from our topic today. I appreciate your call, and thanks for the compliment. But today we are really spending some time almost in a pharmacology class, dealing with cardiovascular medicines, dealing with different classes of medicines that are prescribed to treat high blood pressure. And I was saying as well, for people who are asthmatic, if you have been diagnosed with hypertension, ensure that you tell your doctor that you are asthmatic, because you would not be able to use or should not use any drug that is a beta blocker, as it can trigger asthma attacks. Another thing too that we are cognizant about too, that for people who are on beta blockers, it can cause your triglyceride levels to be sometimes high, particularly when you just started. So even monitoring the cholesterol level before the patient begins to use the drug is important, and monitoring it at least once a year might be also important to ensure that the cholesterol levels are not spiking. We recommend that this class of medicines be used preferably with food or after food. Okay, so this is because these medicines, to minimize side effects, we recommend that these medicines be taken with food. I suspect we have a caller. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller.
Hi, morning, Carlton. It's a very good topic. But my focus, I know you're talking about the medication. But for instance, if somebody's still on the medication, and let's suppose one morning or one evening they get a heart attack or stroke or something, what is the first thing should we do? If the person has not taken the medication, and if the person is able to take the medication, should we administer the medication? Or what should be the first thing we do when somebody gets a stroke and they are on the side of medication?
Okay, a good question. Strokes and heart attacks are medical emergencies. And there may be an underlying factor. Yes, the person may have been hypertensive, which is one of the risk factors, but that person may also have hyperlipidemia or high cholesterol that may not have been known or detected. Or the person may have had end up having a blood clot, which could also cause either condition. And so we would not recommend a blood thinner because we do not know at what stage whether there is internal bleeding and how rapid that bleeding is. So by saying, yes, you give aspirin is to help prevent a heart attack. But at the same time, if someone has sustained a stroke or heart attack, you really don't want to go using the aspirin, or you really don't want to administer any of these medicines. What you need to do is to take the person to the nearest health center or hospital as soon as possible. That is the number one thing you want to do. And you, when they get to that facility, the evaluation will be done. Because if somebody has had a stroke and they end up having bleeding in the brain, if you decide you're going to administer, let us say, the person was on warfarin, or the person was on aspirin or Trentel or Plavix or any of these medicines, it can further cause even more bleeding and complications. So that's a very good question that you've asked. For us, no, nothing. Don't administer no medicine. Ensure that you take the person as they are. Try to make sure that their clothing is, they don't have too much pressure on their windpipe and so forth. They're comfortable. They may not be conscious at the moment, and take them to the hospital or the nearest polyclinic as soon as you can. I suspect we have another caller. Let's take this other caller. Good morning to you, caller.
Hi, it's me again. Quickly, what I'm saying, do you jumpstart the heart? Like, for instance, give some cuffs to the heart section. So, for instance, the clot is there. So, a heavy coughing in that area, would it help?
I cannot tell you yes. Why? Because we do not know what caused the accident. Yes, yes, I understand what you're saying as well. You're trying to ask what is the first aid that would be. But remember, these are cardiovascular diseases, and they don't only involve the heart but the circulatory system. So from a lay standpoint, I cannot, in rightful mind, tell you, well, do that. Okay? The best thing you want to do is to take the person to the closest. If there is a doctor or a nurse or somebody around, you can call them. But that is the number one thing that you do. Okay? I cannot tell you, well, I would not stand there and tell you that is the advice to take. No. All right? So because we do not know what is the underlying condition, what could have caused it. And that is why when they are taken, if they are not dead, when they are taken to the ER, all types of tests are done immediately. All different types of blood chemistry. We send them to do an MRI. We send them, because the same thing, the doctor wants to know what is really happening inside of the body. So yes, you will start checking their blood pressure, their glucose level, all of that. All of that will be done at the health center, at the ENU, emergency room. But blood, there are also investigative procedures and tests that are also done to ascertain, to find out exactly the origin of what would have transpired. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller.
Good morning, Teacher Lando.
Good morning to you, Miss.
That's a good teaching this morning. I'm happy about that.
Thank you very much.
Although I take all notes of my blood pressure tablet, but it is a lot good you are doing this morning.
Thank you.
Let people listen and know what to do.
Yes,
I was watching on the box of Aten and all of mine, and I saw that if you were suffering from asthma.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it is written on it.
Yes.
And then don't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember I got atenolol added to my medication,
mm-hmm,
because my pressure used to be okay and my pulse used to be high.
Mm-hmm.
So So that is all they added that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because what happened, because your adrenaline level was high.
Yes.
That's what was happening. So then they
and
had
from
to...
That, mm-hmm. From that, it's okay.
That's
but
it.
But lisinopril, not even in death I want it.
Lisinopril. It wasn't doing. It wasn't going with you.
Oh, no. And when the doctor said me bring them back for them, come to change them, I put it in a river instead. Thank you.
All right. All right. But don't throw drugs in the river, please. I will just caution you, don't throw it in the river. Sometimes somebody else can use it. So even when they ask you to bring it back, sometimes they give it, to somebody else. And even sometimes people drop medicines, you know, their mother would have died, their father would have died, and they had a lot of good medicines at home, and we donate it, you know, because somebody else, you know, who may have to buy it from time to time, they get it for free. So that can be done as well. All right. I see the lines are going. I have another class that I want to talk about. But let's take the line. Good morning to you, caller.
Yes, morning, Carlton.
Good morning to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you for a good show. And I think you need to advance your medical field. Maybe you could do it online because you're very, very advanced. Appreciate your education.
Thank you very much.
Carlton, there is a rapid series of high blood pressure and strokes and mm-hmm. heart failure.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have much doctors on island for those kind of emergency we call them tremors? Do we have a special area for those things? Because those things seem to be very sensitive illness and mm-hmm. immediately illness. Because, for instance, let's say somebody gets a stroke. One of the first things I believe a professional doctor would...
Did we lose you? Yeah, we lost you. You made some good points. But let me just let you know, currently we have two cardiologists at the hospital, Dr. Rachel Andrew and Dr. Hu, who is Chinese, but from all reports, he's excellent. The reviews of him has been very credible. We also have three internists that I know of. We have Dr. Addis King, we have Dr. O'Reilly, and we have Dr. Mead. We also had Dr. I think she's retired now. She worked at the hospital for many years. I just can't remember her name right now. But we have these internists, the free internists that deals with internal medicine matters like these things. They are generally the type of doctors that deal with these types of conditions. So we rely on them for the diagnosis. But I know that we've seen a spike in cardiovascular diseases, and we know that these diseases are genetic in many cases. We know that our social habits also play a factor. Our psychology, in terms of how we process stress and worry and troubles and grief and all these things, you know, we're not sleeping very well, then our blood pressure starts spiking and we lost our job, we have mortgage to pay. And COVID has caused a lot because many people have gotten unemployed and were made redundant and they have commitments and some of them have not gotten jobs even up to now. And it's very difficult to even go to another island because the other island has similar challenges as we do. And all of these are factors that seem to be precipitating or increasing the risk of cardiovascular health risk. Plus, we have a lot of people who are obese and overweight here. You know, we have nutritional deficiencies where, you know, we eat badly. You know, we have people who are also developing kidney problems. And with kidney problems, you also have... the increase in high blood pressure. So we see these things happening and it's of concern to us. And that's why I have always said that every one of us, we have to take care of ourselves better. We have to, you know, yes, we want to have a good quality of life and not just censor a good quality of life on economics and material gain, having a nice house and saying, looking back and folding your arms and saying, I've worked well. But with all of the hard work that you've pushed, what and how has it impacted your quality of health and wellness? Have you worked very hard to gain a house, but at the same time you're on 7 and 8 different medicines because you've gotten ill and you were not taking care of yourself? You know, you may not have built a house as yet, or you may not have the biggest of house, but your quality of life, your general health and wellness is optimal. So these are things that we have to weigh and balance as individuals, and these are choices that we all have to make every day. Every day we have to make that choice. I was saying to a forum yesterday, I was at a company doing a public health talk, and I was saying to the employees that we need to stop being emotional eaters and be nutritional eaters. Too many of us are emotional eaters. We eat based on our feelings and we don't eat based on the nutritional value of what we decide to consume. And these are a lifestyle modifications that every one of us have to make every day. Every day. There can be a mango right there, and there can be that bar of chocolate right next to it. And you have to make that choice. Which of the two gives me better nutrition? The mango or that bar that is laden with a lot of sugar and calories? Okay, so these are things that we have to do every day. And these are choices that will ultimately impact our general health and wellness. Let's take this other call, please. Good morning to you, caller. Thank you for calling.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Calvin.
Good morning to you, ma'am.
I missed the point you made about stroke and aspirin. Can you repeat it, please?
All right. So I was saying that if someone has gotten a stroke at home, and yes, you might go in the pile of medicine and the doctor would say, well, we're giving the aspirin to prevent a stroke or headache or heart attack. We do not recommend the administration of the aspirin when the person has gotten the stroke. Whether the person is on aspirin, whether they're on Plavix, whether they're on Trentel, whether they're on any blood thinner, Daflon, we do not recommend that you administer them at all, because we do not know how extensive the bleeding is. If you administer these medicines, it's going to cause further bleeding. So we do not recommend it. You leave that for the investigative physician. When they get to the emergency room, they will do the blood test, they will do all the examination, they will do the CT scan, and they will begin to see how extensive the bleeding is. So these are things that we don't want people to take these things in their own hands. All right? All right, so let me just go. I know we have a next caller, but let me just try to finish up. Let me get to the diuretics. And this is another class of drugs that is often used to control blood pressure. There are 3 types of diuretics. There are the thiazides, the loop diuretics, and the potassium sparing diuretics. I will kind of elaborate on them in a subsequent show, but let me just tell you in a nutshell what diuretics do. They're generally referred to, we normally refer them to as water pills or water tablets. What they do, they help to rid the excess salt and water from the body. So they remove excess salt and water from the body. Most of them help our kidneys to release more sodium into our urine. So that sodium now takes with it the water from your blood, and it sort of decreases the amount of fluid that flows through your veins and arteries, and by so doing, reducing your blood pressure. So each type of diuretic, whether it's a thiazide, a loop, or potassium sparing diuretic, that will be determined by your physician, which one is given to you based on your assessment. Okay? So based on your assessment, the doctor may determine. Sometimes doctors may even give combination diuretics. So you might be on a loop diuretic, at the same time, you might be on a potassium sparing diuretic. So there are different ones, and I'm going to give some examples that are available here and we use. So for the thiazide diuretic, you might be on clofirazide, you might be on indapamine, you might be on hydrochlorothiazide. So those are three common ones, chlorothiazide, indapamine, and hydrochlorothiazide, HCTZ. You might be on this one, and that is, you might be on either of these, and that one falls under the class of a fireside diuretic. You might be on a loop diuretic, and the common one is Lasix or furosemide. And again, this one is commonly used. You might be on a potassium-sparing diuretic, and we're talking about spironolactone. We're talking about triamterone. We're talking about amiloride. So those are common examples of potassium-sparing diuretic. Now, I have seen in Dominica, a lot of our men are placed on spironolactone, which is a potassium-sparing diuretic. It is not the best choice for males, and I do hope that some of our doctors might be hearing. Sometimes they forget, because one of the main complications of spironolactone in men is that it can cause gynecomastia. It can cause men to have breasts, to get like breasts. And by so doing, it decreases the testosterone levels. So men who use spironolactone, it is really not the better choice. There are other choices of potassium sparing diuretics that can be used. So I do hope that our doctors can begin to make wiser choices, and our FMPs as well, when they are prescribing potassium sparing diuretics, particularly to our men. So again, I would not recommend spironolactone as the first choice for our men. If you choose to give a diuretic that is potassium sparing, you can give amiloride or you can give triamterene. Okay. Now, some of the common side effects that we see with most diuretics: frequent urination. So that is why we do not really recommend diuretics to be taken at nighttime, as it is going to affect your quality of sleep, because you will have to wake up several times to go to the washroom. So we want you to remember that it is best to take diuretics in the daytime. And if it's an elderly person, you might want to give them diapers, particularly if they're bedbound and they're using diuretics. And you would want to make sure that you change the diapers as frequently as possible, that they don't end up having diaper rash. All right. The other thing too, that some diuretics can cause a bit of dehydration. So you want to drink water, enough water with them, and they can cause you to lose a little too much salt. So again, that is why the doctor may do blood tests from time to time to check and see what your electrolyte levels are like. That is potassium, sodium, and sugar or glucose. Those are your key electrolytes in your body, and we will be looking at that. We also give these diuretics for liver failure, heart disease or heart failure, particularly with congestive heart failure. We give it with edema or swelling, and we also give it for kidney stones as well. Sometimes we give it for kidney stones, that the stones can actually be released or come out from the urethra. So these are some of the examples of classes of antihypertensive medications that are often prescribed by our local doctors. I see that we have one caller there. We are just wrapping up. It's 11:31. Let's take that caller as we wrap up. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling. Good morning, caller.
I'm just asking, can somebody really drink too much water?
Yes. Yes, you can. Some people can drink too much water, and that in itself can create problems to the body. So that's why, you know, there is this major saying, too much of one thing is good for nothing. Everything is in moderation. We are advised to drink at least 6 to 8 glasses of water per day, and there must be a reason for it. All right? So you want to be cautious of that. But we are just about 11:32. We have to wrap up. It was my pleasure being here with you today for yet another episode of Health Vibes, your very own health talk show brought to you by the brand you trust the most, Jolly's Pharmacy. I am your host, Carlton Lando, saying your health is indeed your greatest resource. Preserve it. Thank you so much for listening, and I do hope that the information that was given today was informative, and it will certainly make you make better choices and will understand your therapy even better. So from all of us here at Jolly's Pharmacy, let me say go out, have a good day, and be safe. Bye-bye.